interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here's one I'd like to go in the field to investigate. Story from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. For months now, a very popular Pepsi machine has been active in a northeast neighborhood called Trinidad. A lot of questions have been asked about this Pepsi machine. Kids have been lining up around the block to buy their drinks there. Someone recently discovered it every day has been dispensing malt liquor. That's right. The Pepsi machine was in front of a four-unit apartment. Of course, nobody has claimed responsibility for it. It's been charging kids just $3 for each one of the malt liquor drinks, which is actually cheaper than it is when adults buy it at the store. It's been disabled, and now they're trying to figure out who's put it there, who's been collecting the money. Maybe they should have just monitored it for a little while. Side note, apparently vending machines in Japan legally sell beer all the time. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm getting kind of pumped up because, St. Patrick's Day is heading this way next weekend.
It is.
And so we're going to kind of make this sort of like a two-part special St. Patrick's edition of the show.
Let's do it. Let's make this a, we're done with the winter weather. Let's just warm things, start to warm things up a little bit, head towards spring, and let's make this a good show.
Well, I think, isn't it tomorrow night everybody's supposed to spring forward with their clocks? Okay, so that's an official, that's when you officially know it's supposed to get warmer.
Spring forward and fall back.
Yeah. So far, it seems like the groundhog's been full of it, but, you know, I'm still optimistic that it's going to warm up very quickly.
What did the groundhog say? I didn't even follow it.
Yeah, he claimed, I don't know what happens if he sees or doesn't see a shadow, but either way, he predicted, apparently, that there was going to be an early spring.
Is this Punxsutawney Phil or is this
Punxsutawney Phil
or Woody, the one that's here in Asheville?
Nobody ever believes Woody.
Okay.
Except maybe Investigator Shelley Wright. You seem like the kind of lady who would believe a groundhog. Is that true?
Not this year. Especially not Woody. I wonder if Woody's finding matched Punxsutawney Phil's. Nobody knows that, right?
I do not know.
It's still, that will be an unsolved mystery.
Mm.
We also have in the studio, you know what, guys? It's funny because when it's really dry like this, my throat gets dry. So you have to forgive me. It's that allergy thing. It's so dry. You know, when I was down in Puerto Rico, nice and humid and warm. How about you? We have also Kelly in the studio. And Kelly, how are you handling the cold weather? Yes, that's the microphone you speak into that.
I have a lot of joint pain in cold weather.
Oh, yeah, so right. Yeah, that's true.
Sluggish. And
I can see why a lot of people are looking forward to just feeling a little healthier physically when this all gets behind us. But you're right, Forrest. It's time to celebrate. And basically, St. Patrick's Day is just another excuse to get boozed up.
Exactly. They should have left the vending machine there for a few more weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, then after St. Patrick's Day, say, hey, it's time, it's over, now we're going to remove the vending machine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by the way, next weekend is also the big Asheville Tattoo Fest that my friend JR is producing. So hopefully, you know, some of you will see us hanging out around there over the weekend. But here's what we're going to do. Tonight, we are going to hour number two. We're going to talk a little bit about leprechauns. And now, Shelley Wright, you are of Irish descent, right?
Yes.
Right. And you've got the classic red hair.
Yes.
I have been doing research on leprechauns, and I've been told that some people that have a very strong Irish heritage, and, you know, I've got Scotch-Irish in my background, most people from around here do, but people who have a really strong Irish heritage are sometimes offended by leprechauns. Is that true? Are you offended by leprechauns?
Offended by leprechauns or the idea of leprechauns? I'm not offended by much. You know me.
It says right here on this website that has all this info, it says many Irish people dislike leprechauns because they have come to represent a number of negative stereotypes about Irish people.
Whatever.
Well,
yeah.
how about short people of Irish descent?
Well, yeah.
That would be me.
No, I'm talking like short people of Irish descent.
Little people.
Yes.
I could care less about the political correctness of anything.
Well, it almost seems like if you're offended by it, then you must think there's some ring of truth to it, you know? And how can you compare yourself to a little fairy with a hat who lives at the rainbow with a pot of gold? Hey, wait a second. The more I think about it, it does sound like Shelley Wright.
Yeah?
The pot of gold, little Irish person? Well, I'll be damned. You should be offended, Shelley. You are a leprechaun. Well, we're going to dig into leprechauns tonight. Where did this whole thing start from? How did it start? Who came up with this idea of leprechauns? Is there any reality at all to this? And I found some interesting stuff about leprechauns that you probably don't know.
I was just thinking, I've never heard of a leprechaun girl. Guys are leprechauns.
Here's a trivia question that I was going to ask later, and I thought of this just now because of what you said. One of the trivia questions is, and I guarantee you Forrest knows this, what famous movie from 1959 follows a man who is granted three wishes by the king of the leprechauns and enjoys a feast in his kingdom?
I do not know.
I bet you know, don't you, Forrest? Oh, come on. I'm stumping you on this one?
Maybe.
My mom and dad and sister would know this one like that. It's one of our favorite family films. Kelly, no idea?
No idea.
Wow.
I'm thinking about the leprechaun movies now, though.
Yeah.
Leprechaun.
We're going to dig into those later also. Okay, well, how about this? Think about it. 1959, and now I'm going to throw a bigger hint out there. Disney movie. Still nothing. Wow. Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Right? You know that movie?
Yes.
Am I the only person who loves you? You've never even heard of that movie, Shelley.
Maybe at one time far, far
it's,
away.
It is an excellent movie, and there's an old man who stars in the movie, but the young, dashing, handsome star that they picked was Sean Connery. Maybe the first time he was in a major role like that in a movie. I think it was, that would have been pre-James Bond, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, in Darby O'Gill and the Little People, it's a very, very cool movie. It's live action, but they use special effects so the actors look tiny. But I remember these great scenes of Darby O'Gill going down into these caverns where the leprechauns live. And, of course, the leprechauns are always partying. And there were little leprechaun women. You know, they were spinning around and dancing and making merry of themselves. So, but you don't usually hear people talking so much about leprechaun ladies. Leprechaun, real leprechauns just reproduce by, what is that, binary fission, mitosis.
Yeah.
They just split up into other little lumps of green things.
Green?
But on the other hand, if some of the jokes I've heard are true, don't we all know at least one leprechaun joke?
At least.
Yeah. But sometimes it turns out in the end the guy's not a leprechaun after all.
That's not how long you believed in leprechauns.
I was after me lucky charms.
So yeah, hour number two, we're gonna dig into leprechauns and we're gonna see how seriously we should take this. I always wonder when it comes to these legends, is there some nugget of truth in there? I don't know. But that said, next week on the show, again, barring some ball game or some, you know, wacky thing like that that preempts us, as you know, I always have to say that. Part two of our St. Patrick's Day show is going to be looking at the connection between spirits and spirits. You know what I'm talking about? What is the connection between booze and spooky activity? Because that's why we call high alcohol content liquid spirits. We literally call it that because of a belief that attracts spiritual activity. And, you know, we do our haunted pub crawls, and we always take people to bars, and we tell them about that. So it'll be a nice little mix here of St. Patrick-oriented stuff that we'll talk about this weekend and next weekend. Also, a little later, Mr. Mobius is going to join us. Go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the program, more information on topics discussed. Check out the hauntedashville.com. Here's a story from Tasmania I want to mention before we go to our first break. Tasmania has been home to a weird phenomenon. I just found out about this from ABC. Tasmanian police and firefighters are unable to explain the source of a beam of light which came down from the sky and formed a circle of fire in the middle of a suburb. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you more about this, how bizarre it is, and why that some people literally believe they were watching the beginning of War of the Worlds here. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is due. Watch his hands, it's turning straight. He's been
nice to know soon the sun should be shining a little more brightly, and we'll have the dreary cold behind us. Let's hope it works out that way. Once again, many of our friends there in the Northeast are getting hammered with just snow. I would be really tired of living up there. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. And, you know, you can see why so many people continue buying the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home, because these storms will just keep knocking power out. It doesn't end in the spring. The tornadoes and stuff will kick back in. But who knows? You know, we have been expecting a very weird year. We knew that 2012 was going to be the year of transition. 2013 is the year when a lot of odd stuff is going to really kick in now. We've crossed the boundary. Before the break, I was telling you about Tasmania. Tasmania is a part of the Commonwealth of Australia. It is an island, and that's where the Tasmanian devil is from, I understand. So Tasmanian police there, yeah, they received calls from concerned residents in Carnegie Street at Claremont. These residents had seen this bright shaft of light that just came down out of the sky. I'm not sure what time of day this happened, but it instantly ignited a huge fire. And they were able to quickly get on the scene and put this fire out, but it has left behind a round, burned patch of land, just like some kind of death ray was shot down from a UFO. And they say they've investigated to see if a flare or something may have landed there, but so far there's no record of any aircraft that was around that place that was unauthorized. They just can't find any cause. So it's just odd. But all kinds of weird things are starting to materialize around the world. Egypt has been struck by a swarm of locusts of biblical proportions ahead of Passover. It's funny, you guys watching this show called The Bible on the History Channel?
Yes.
Yeah? Have you seen it, Shelley?
No.
It's a mini-series, Bible Stories. I watched the first one. I liked it. I really wish that there were more things that they could include, though.
I know. They, especially in the story of Moses, I know they skipped over a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
About. And the only one critique I had,
uh-huh,
we're getting off on a tangent here,
mm-hmm,
is that when Moses got the commandments from God on Mount Sinai,
yeah,
his hair was not white when he came down off the mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the...
I didn't even notice that.
And
difference.
Of course, they didn't mention the idol, about the people worshiping the idols.
The cow, and
yeah,
and the earth opened up and swallowed them. And
right.
Well, you know, to me, everybody kind of knows the basic Bible stories. What's more interesting are these little transitory scenes that you kind of have to read the Bible to know about. Things that don't make it into the Sunday school class or whatever. And it's just like, for example, I know in the story of Exodus, I recall a point when basically Moses says to God, I can't go and talk to Pharaoh, I have a speech impediment. And instead of God fixing the speech impediment, God says, well, your brother's a good speaker, take him, let him talk for you. And they're just like weird things like that that make you question who this character God is, you know? And I find those little subtle aspects of Bible stories much more interesting than kind of the framework that we all know. But nonetheless, it's an interesting miniseries. And so here we go. And, of course, one of the plagues that affected Pharaoh in the story of the Exodus was a plague of locusts. You know, there were numerous plagues that God was supposedly sending there to torment Pharaoh and to letting the Israelites go. So now they say millions of locusts have swooped down in a swarm from the sky onto the land of Egypt. The plague is mainly affecting the region around Giza, home of the famous pyramids. Officials estimate at least 30 million of the insects have swarmed onto the fields and farms about 15 miles southwest of Cairo. It's causing massive damage to agriculture there. However, in some parts of the Middle East, locusts are used for food. So some people might be trying to eat these things. But it's odd when you think that we might start seeing more and more little glimpses that some kind of something dark and unstable is brewing. You know, it's kind of a shame because right now I don't foresee any period when I would feel safe enough to go to Egypt. Do you, Forrest?
No.
It's just, and you know, even I would have felt okay going to Egypt, I think, 10 years ago. But so much has changed in just the past 10 years.
I would not feel safe anywhere in that,
yeah,
in that region.
Yeah. And
being a fair-skinned American.
Well, sure. I mean, that would, you know, you have like the CBS crew that went over there, and they couldn't even prevent their own reporter from being dragged off and sexually assaulted. And this is an experienced crew of professional journalists with a major outfit. If they can't even protect their people,
yeah,
you know, what kind of chances would we be taking? So, I always thought, oh, maybe someday it'd be logical for a guy like me to check out the pyramids. But don't know if that's going to happen. You know, maybe things will calm back down eventually. Let's see. Here is a story. You know, I was saying that some people eat locusts. Well, here's a story about a guy. Here it is. Guy in London. 22-year-old passenger who was trying to board an airplane. I guess he was a prospective passenger. And customs agents found him trying to smuggle in 207 pounds of dried caterpillars. And they ask him, you know, why do you have over 200 pounds of dried caterpillars? He says, I love to eat them. They're my favorite snack. And they say that there are caterpillar stews that are even being prepared in some parts of Europe in upscale restaurants. I've never eaten anything like that. I did eat, you know, the tequila scorpion, but I don't think I've ever eaten a caterpillar, a worm, and not to my knowledge, anyhow. Any of you guys? Yeah.
No.
Definitely not.
Not even you, Forrest. Okay. Now, this guy, he's a caterpillar eater. Now we have a guy also who's in trouble because he's been calling 911 in Newcastle, Indiana. And so, you know, they pick up, say, you know, 911, and he says, I'd like a cheeseburger, please. And the 911 person there, the dispatcher, says, you know, have a good day, hangs up. Guy calls back again. Why did you hang up on me? I would like a cheeseburger. This dispatcher says, we don't take cheeseburgers. Burger orders, right? This goes on again and again and again. Okay, so he's now been arrested for calling 911 asking for cheeseburgers. But if that's not bad enough, here's a story from Atlanta, Georgia, that was printed in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. A 58-year-old man there is in trouble because he and his wife have been going through a divorce. And I'm not sure how messy this whole thing is, but one day he moved out of his apartment. He wrote his wife a check, told his family to give all his belongings away, and loaded up a gun and got in his van. Then he goes to the courtroom where there was some type of a hearing about to take place, and he tells the judge right there to his face that he is going to kill the judge's children and, quote, cook them and eat them to make them more palatable, end quote. So, I mean, imagine telling the judge, I'm going to kill your kids and eat them. Well, bond has been denied for this guy.
Really?
I'm shocked.
And he is undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened to a man in Fairfield, Illinois. He was arrested, released, and then arrested 1 minute later once again. What did this guy do to get arrested 1 minute after they released him? I'll tell you when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Turning back, flying to fancy on a windswept field.
Strange stuff happening around the world. The high strangers around the globe. Speaking of strange. And a little bit later tonight, we're going to talk some about leprechauns. And, you know, maybe some things you don't know about leprechauns. Maybe things that you thought you'd know, but you don't know. Maybe we'll find out as we go down this checklist that Shelley Wright is a leprechaun, and we never realized it. It took sitting down with a leprechaun checklist and saying, because the way I feel about it is, if more of this is right than wrong, Shelley's a leprechaun.
Sounds good to me.
Fairfield, Illinois. A man was arrested for drunk driving. The Illinois State Trooper there took the guy to the jail where he was booked, and about 30 minutes later, the guy had completed the booking process and posted the bond. So he was released, and as soon as he walked out the door, the trooper looked up on the surveillance system and saw that the man walked out and immediately turned and urinated all over the steps of the jail. So... the trooper went outside, arrested him again, and returned him inside where he was booked on a charge of disorderly conduct. At that time, I imagine he was at least a bit more comfortable. Yeah, I didn't realize that you could get arrested for drunk driving and be out the door in 30 minutes. You'd think they'd keep you all night or something.
Exactly.
Let you sober up.
Throw you in the drunk tank.
Yeah.
Let you, sober up.
Yeah, 30-minute turnaround on that.
Time to get back to the bar before it closes.
Express to you.
That's true, actually. You know, down in certain places in Puerto Rico, you walk into a bar and you order up, you know, a nice mixed drink of rum and coke or something, and they say, "Is that for here or to go?" And and if it's to go, you know, they'll put it in a plastic cup. And otherwise, you know, they'll put it in a glass. I like that. I like that policy.
I like that, too.
And then, you know, everywhere you go, you can buy booze. Different cultural perspectives on these things. In Puerto Rico, you only have to be 18 years old to drink. You can drink 24/7. But if they catch you down there with pot, oh, bad news. You know, you're pretty much going straight to jail if you get caught with marijuana. Just different odd little cultural things. Like around here, alcohol is very restricted. You know, you got to be 21. You have more than one drink and getting behind the wheel of a car, you're taking a chance.
There are no to-go cups.
There are no to-go cups. I mean, it's a very restricted. Ingles can't be selling liquor. You know, only the ABC store monopolizes that. But you get caught with a joint, they write you a ticket. It's not as big of a deal. So
it's like speeding.
Yeah.
Or less.
Probably less. And yeah, I don't know. I've never been in that situation, but I've had plenty of friends who have been popped with a little pot. And they didn't act like it was a big deal at all. So
it's going to go on your permanent record.
I had a couple friends who swore to me that a cop arrested them for having marijuana. And while he was doing the paperwork, he was smoking their pot.
No.
Yep. They swore it to me. And I believe they were telling the truth. I mean, these are good friends of mine. All right, let's see here. Story from Tehran, Iran. They say that Tehran has been struggling for decades with rats. They have a big rodent problem there.
Yeah, they're called their leader.
Yeah. And apparently they say some giant rats have been flushed out of their nests by melting snow. And so some of these rats weigh 11 pounds. 11-pound rat. They say that during the Middle Ages, black rats in Europe reportedly grew large enough to carry off babies. Okay. Human babies. So, Tehran is ramping up its response to the rodents. They have a team of army snipers now that go out with infrared scopes and just pick these things off. They say it kind of reminds people of the Princess Bride.
The rats of unusual sizes?
Yeah, something like that.
Russes.
R-O-U-S's?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, these guys are going out with, you know, rifles and killing rats at night, and they say thus far they've easily killed over 2,200 of these giant rats. And, you know, I wonder, you know, I've never gone out and really had any kind of FaceTime with a muskrat. Have you, Forrest?
No.
My father used to hunt muskrats, so he would trap them and sell their hide. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This is like when I was a real little kid. He would go, just for extra money, he'd go out and he'd set up traps along the river. And he'd come out there and he'd find a muskrat, and I guess he'd knock it in the head or something. And, take it and sell its hide. And he said that, sure enough, they'll gnaw their foot off if you don't get back fast enough.
It reminds me of, like, down in Louisiana and Texas, mm-hmm. down south, the nutrias.
Oh, right.
What they're called. The,
mm-hmm.
the big
swamp
rats.
Yeah.
Yeah, swamp rats.
So I wonder, you know, because I would imagine that something like a muskrat is a different, slightly different species than a rat you'd find in a barn around here, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder, are these literally, like, barn rats that have gotten that huge? Or is this some kind of other little different species that it's not clear? Their way it's they're just writing it like, oh, rats can get gargantuan if they have enough food. I don't know.
Radiation.
We'll have to look into that. Well, that could be. That could be.
Talk about Denijan's crazy radiation experiments.
And, let's see here. Oh, here's some new data from the Kepler Space Telescope. They've announced that they have found billions of Earth-like planets near Earth. They say that this recent data has said that there are more Earth-like planets much closer to Earth than ever before imagined. They say that, astronomically speaking, 13 light years is practically next door, and that's where they're finding many of these planets. And, you know, who knows if there is some type of, intelligent life. But it's always funny to try to put parameters on what does intelligent life mean anyway, right? But I read recently, and I don't have this story in front of me, but I read recently that some rich guy has said that if he can find a couple, a married couple, man and woman, that seem qualified, yeah, he will put them on a ship and send them to Mars. And they can be the first people to go fly around Mars and come back.
Yeah, he wants them to orbit Mars and come back. It takes, what, 13 months, I believe?
It's over a year. Yeah, it's a year and some change. So you and your spouse would have to sit in a tiny capsule and be fired off into the cold, black vastness of the unknown. And, you know, there's no 911 if something goes wrong. I mean, I don't know if they give you cyanide pills. It's probably not even necessary. Just open the window. Can you imagine doing it?
No.
Shelley?
No.
You're not married, but you could get married and do this.
But I still can't imagine it.
Would you don't want to be in a little capsule for over a year?
No way.
Just sitting there?
No.
Yeah, I think I would go nuts, actually. I think that would be... that. It'd probably be like The Shining in outer space, right? One of the two is going to flip out, and some horrible stuff is going to go down.
It's a great story.
Yeah. That's a whole new kind of cabin fever. And, you know, in fact, you're probably better off if you don't put a married couple in there. Just maybe just one person to go on that trip and give them, you know, some movies to watch. Maybe he'll fly right by. That seems really, really creepy to me. And,
I don't know, put two gay guys in there. I think it'll be decorated all the heck by now.
Well, that's true. It'll look beautiful.
Yeah.
They'll do it with style. Okay, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, it's tax time.
Boo.
Yeah. And I know for some people that's just no problem. If you just work at one place and they practically give you all your tax info and say, there it is, and you take it to your accountant or whatever, fine. But if you have any little ventures yourself, if you're an entrepreneur, it just becomes a big headache. Well, there's a story I'm going to read to you from Clarksville, Tennessee, and it is about why one man there, a 52-year-old man, saw his tax situation and decided that he had no choice but to quit his job to literally save his soul from damnation. Maybe we can all relate to this. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking I'm Strange.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore.
Minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about leprechauns, little people, and some stuff that's really kind of creepy, truly. I even saw something for the first time a few months ago that I think is irrelevant to this conversation that you probably don't know about. A little something I saw. But it is tax time, as I mentioned. Clarksville, Tennessee. A Clarksville man said he quit his job to save his soul. He resigned as a maintenance worker there after his W-2 tax form was stamped with the number 666. The Bible calls 666 the number of the beast, and it's often used as a symbol of the devil. So this guy claims that after he got the W-2, he could either go to work or go to hell. He said, quote, "If you accept that number, you sell your soul to the devil," end quote. And so the vice president of the corporation there, which apparently had some control over this, said the W-2 was labeled with 666 by the company that handles their payroll, and it refers to the order in which forms are mailed out. But doesn't matter. This guy says, hey, I got a W-2 with a satanic number on it, and God is worth more than money. So he is out. Company doesn't want to lose him, but they have.
They couldn't change his number? Really?
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that I read some scholarly documents claiming that if you actually translate the Bible correctly, the number is 616. That's one of the biggest misconceptions, that was mistranslated somewhere in some language and that it's actually 616. So, I don't know. What's a number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a story from New York. A guy has been arrested in an Applebee's. And he was dressed up as the Joker. They say he walked in, causing some kind of a disturbance. Now, they say he had green wig and face paint and all that stuff. He sat there getting drunk, and they say that they asked him several times to leave, but he refused. So they arrested the Joker. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with that guy. And in more Batman-oriented news, we have a story from West Palm Beach, Florida. There's the Florida bell. We got it in first hour tonight. Police have arrested a West Palm Beach man after they say he rammed through the front door of his parents' home with a sport utility vehicle. And when they ask him why he had done this, he said that he was driving the Batmobile and he couldn't get it in the Batcave. They also claimed that this guy had posted numerous videos of himself on YouTube dressed as Batman before the incident. He's 30 years old, and they say he's been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, but without intent to kill, and criminal mischief. So,
and he's never had a date.
Well, if you can't get the Batmobile in the cave, there's a consequence to be paid for that. And you know, those stories are, that's just wacky old speaking of strange stuff. I saw this one, I was like, wow, really? Is this, could this be true? Apparently it is. This is from Fort Hood, Texas. A Fort Hood soldier has pled guilty to involuntary manslaughter. He supposedly accidentally shot his friend in the face while trying to help scare away the hiccups. They say that this guy's been sentenced to 3.5 years in military prison. He shot the PFC in September while they were watching a football game at an apartment. He told police he thought the weapon had dummy rounds. And so that's why he was trying to scare his friend so the hiccups would stop. So apparently a guy who is, somebody believes is smart enough to be given a weapon and put in the colors of the United States military, is putting a gun in somebody's face and pulling the trigger to scare away the hiccups because there are dummy rounds in there. Dummy rounds, all right. That is definitely scary. Okay. It's time for a break. When we come back, yes, we're going to talk about leprechauns and little people. We're going to test your memory and maybe some things that you may or may not know about leprechauns. And also, I would like to know if anybody here in the studio has ever seen what could actually be a leprechaun. Because what I was alluding to was I saw something last October. And it's possible it was a leprechaun. It's possible it was something more sinister. But it was creepy. And, you know, you guys can tell me if you think I'm reading too much into this. But I saw a black dog last year. I may have seen a leprechaun. What does this mean? Is this good or bad? We'll find out. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird all manifests for you. Thanks for spending your Saturday nights with us. It's called Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back. 7 years.